se ci vuole andare. Più.
I did learn something about plants, though, not about him. He's true blue, straight and narrow. Gonna make a good handicap because he wasn't influenced by anything I told him. He stuck to his own convictions. He had his winners, and did not knows that it's something the man has to do on his own. He's not going to take any tips. But I walk in. There's a Yugoslavian guy who likes me because I knew Marshal Tito and revered Marshal Tito, Joseph Broz, and he was a Tito partisan. He was in Tito's army during World War II. So he loves me because I don't look down on the Yugoslavians as a bunch of communists. He's coming, he gets me a racing form from, gets me a table there. He says, I want for you to get a daily double for appreciation for all you do for me. I don't know what I did for him, but there it is. Okay, I said, well, he says, who we got? In the first race now, we got to put four in it. That's the favorite. And Dalhousie's riding. You can't leave out a horse Dalhousie's riding. I said, well, I guess he has about three more. The Karen, post position. He has everything. You can't leave that one. All you've got everything. All you've got. He has three, and I put in mine. There's four. Now, the second race is a maiden. I say, hey, listen, I don't play maidens. I don't know anything about you selecting. Well, let's see. Well, we got to get first time starters. You can't be a lot of first time starters because they come out and bite you. Three first time starters. Dalhousie riding me. Oh, McCarran hardly ever rides in a maiden race, so that's what everybody wants from McCarran. So we got seven horses and four horses. It comes to $100. He gives me a ticket, the price on it, $100. He's got everything going. But I had a feeling that the mistake he made in that second race was he did not include the favorite, or the second favorite. I said, well, it was 7 minutes before the post time of the first race. I said, well, we're still alive with another one. Now, the horse that I gave him wins the first race. So a double looks pretty good, because this horse pays 17.80. So, that's... Next 20 minutes, we're still alive. Still alive. Lo and behold, the second race is run, and of course it's won by the favorite. He left that one out. Now that's an extreme case. Hi, guys.
Hello.
That's an extreme case. That's a man who is wealthy. That's a man who can afford it, who's in his twilight of his years, about my age. And who gets more kick out of doing that than they would have the double come in. And I'm sure playing it like that, he gets a lot of doubles. I mean, he doesn't make any money, but he gets a lot of doubles. And he loves the cashing more than anything else. Just have that money trade. That's his idea of a thrill. I mean, he deserves it. He got rich by doing something honest, I'm sure. But here's the other guy who's not rich. Meet him. Well, if you look over what my real I said, okay, you got the winner in the first race, in my estimation. You got the right two horses. That's what my readouts say, too. Now, second race is a maiden race. I said, hey, you're on your own there, but these two look good from maiden characters. Well, he's got those in there, so he's got three in the first race, or two in the first race to three in the second. He does not bet the winner in the first race. He just bets the double. Long story short, he's down $30 at the start of the third race. And I said, hey, you'd be ahead now if you'd just followed the procedure. Because the horse that I, two maidens came in second and third. Some other maidens, the first time I started, won the maiden race. Even with my help, you could get the second race. So he's down $30. He said, well, I read my first racing form in 1949. I've been trying to get it even ever since. So you get this philosophy is, I'm just trying to get even. And he gets a little desperate. He says, get me even, get me even. So that's when the $75 horse came along. He bet it as a third horse, and he bet his horse, which was the second favorite, in exact, he got $648 plus the win. Across the board bet, I guess $2. So he got even. And I said, hey, you're even, go home. I mean, you got even for the year. He's now several hundred dollars ahead for this week, but he's even for the whole year. Go home. celebrate, relax. Don't blow it all back. Because I'm at the ready to leave. After the $75 hit, the $600, I go, I don't push my luck. He wants to stay. Well, give me some more sisters. I said, hey, if you're looking for a long shot, this has the most chance here, but play this one and this one. Well, they were favorites. He ended up making four more dollars for the day or something. But you see what happens? People start playing doubles and exactas, and they get the delusion that you're covering the place, of course, and you're covering all elements by merely betting a daily double or an exact, and taking it out of the same bank. So that beautiful 600, 700, whatever he had in his pocket, slowly going out to attrition by his whims in the last few races. When I left him, we got him ahead again, but I'm sure by now he's back to trying to get him. He doesn't have any respect for himself. And this is the very area that is the most important for us all to accomplish, is that respect for ourselves. He looked at the readouts and said, I got the readouts, but I can't interpret them. What does that mean? I said, hey, what do you mean, what does it mean? And he says, well, how should I bet it? I said, look, this is the one time that I would say the favorite's going to win the race. Put all your money on the favorite, half, one-third to win and two-thirds to place. Well, the favorite won, wire to wire. But he saw it, he's sitting right there, and just because it's on the board, he's the favorite, he's only going to pay 680, the guy figures I got to find another horse. I said, put it all on the favorite. He's the one who's going to win it. Don't be looking for another horse if the favorite's going to win it. That is a situation where this is a true favorite. And too many people have this. And he said, I don't understand this. I'm not smart like you guys. You can say that to Dick Schmidt once. I'm not smart like you. So you know the guy's got a heck of a problem. If you share that problem, the time is to start looking in the mirror at yourself and say, hey, I can interpret these readouts, and if I can't, I will darn well put myself in a position of doing it on paper or at home long enough until I get the confidence. If you go to a racetrack or a book and start betting without the confidence, you absolute confidence, you're just spinning your wheels. Now, he bet against me. He won his share of races that day, but he had confidence as a newcomer. You don't mind my quoting that, doctor? He had confidence in himself, and that confidence was not swayed by the fact that I said, I'd go to the two horses down that were here. And he ended up winning. He didn't win that race, is all. He probably had a race that he won that I didn't on the same day. But he has confidence in himself, and he knows the long-range statistic. He will do just as well as I will. Just on that particular race, we differed. Now, that is what we all need. You've got to be able to say, okay, Brohammer, I like going to the track with you. Okay, Schmidt, okay, starting, okay, Purdy, but there's my choice. And stick with it, because you're going to be right more often than you're going to be wrong. And it will, being wrong should bolster your confidence. If you were right every time, you'd be a babbling idiot. Somebody yesterday went 10 races in a row, and after the ninth, he only put $2 on the 10th because he was sure he was going to lose, and it paid $26. So you got to be careful winning too many. Self-esteem is the absolute essential for handicap. Absolutely essential. You don't have it. You want to get another one here? Just trade chairs. We got abundance of it today. Any questions on what we talked about so far? Any questions on the importance of the Remington Down report? Yeah, back to track. Not just applies to Remington, but as it applies to the world.
Is your track maintenance dramatically different?
Oh yeah, there's virtually none. They go over it. The rain would see discoloration, and they would go over it with no water. No water in Harrow.
Harrow.
Harrow didn't experience. Nope, there's no dust. It's the only place in Oklahoma with no dust.
Will that change?
No dust, and in the rain, from what I read, was that the jockeys came back clean and the horses were not covered with mud. They love it. And so running in mid-pack or back, the rear of the track, in the rain, which is a real disadvantage at any other track because of the mud coming up, isn't much of a problem there.
No, but they do not water it. My prediction is that despite the fact that they paid $4.5 a square foot for that stuff, four some odd million dollars, that they will start watering it. Because no track wants to, pretty soon they're going to get, the press is going to turn on them and make fun of them, as I did somewhat here today. It's inescapable. So they will start probably watering it in that way.
Well, this all seems to me like Hawthorne Revisited. As soon as it rains at Hawthorne, while the water is coming down, your speed stands up because you got a harness racing subtrack over there. So the foot goes right down to hard. What's happening here is as the water gets into this stuff, it's taking the air out that's between it. Now it's going down and compressing. Maybe it's not splashing, but you're running through. And when they seal the tracks in Southern California, the speed goes up. This is a reverse, that's all. There's no such a thing as never having a bias, and it can't happen.
You're absolutely right, but...
Or having Gary Stevens on a closer, ha-ha.
I never look at the jockey's name, so I don't know, but who's Gary Stevens?
That's the guy that holds out and jumps off at the wire. Mr. Brulo.
Poor Gary. I bet you wouldn't say that if he was here.
I would say it to his face. He's the worst jockey ever saw. next to Julie Crone.
Well, he'll say it to his face, but that's
bring him out, Bill.
I've always suggested that some of these guys who do jockey reports, if they had to be alone in the jockey room with some of them, they would be a little more tempered in there.
I like his agent, though. His travel agent, because he gets them on any front-running horse, as long as there's no closers in the race, he's okay. But he's acquitting himself terrific at Belmont. He had one winner in 8 days, and then he had one $13 horse that he was holding on because the horse could only close. He could only close. Super, he's riding in Atlantic City. You should have seen him the other day, trying to catch Perret.
That's great that you can perceive those things. That's a talent I don't.
Looks good to me.
Okay. First order of business, before we get into Synergism 2, will be discussion of median energy, which is part of Synergism 2. Percentage factor is derived. You'll all get it in your programs. If you want to do it by hand or program it yourself, here's the formula. N feet per second, of course.
Those who are using phase three, or I imagine contenders can, and it's probably the matchup program. I will have an article and follow-up showing how to change the variant program, the ones that are accessible anyway, I got that working last night. And so, anyone who would like that, well, will be in the next follow-up. There will be an article on exactly how to go through and make the changes that you need to it.
Doc, is that T or TE in your second equation?
TE, total energy. Okay, use these figures. As soon as come out with your own, just take these, add them up, I think you get 170.19. coming around to liking grass.
But this one, it really is so dramatic.
What did y'all come up with, 58 what? Yeah, you'll always get numbers in the 60s, except when they're in the low 70s. Okay, y'all got the formula? Is all clear to you?
I didn't see which numbers you need.
Okay, you take the three fractional times per feet per second. I gave you 22, 23, 25 here. Fractional times, not calls. First, second, third fraction. You total them. And now everybody has a readout. A raw readout. You have to get a raw readout for this. You should do it raw, not adjusted. If you do it adjusted, always do it adjusted. It just changes the parameters. You won't have the same parameters that you'll read about in the follow-up. Unless you do it raw. You'll read in the follow-up, no horse ever won over 70, and you got horses winning at 71 because you did it adjusted. Don't be disturbed. Do it raw, preferably.
On your comment, if you adjusted, you would have adjusted all three fractions, so what's going to change?
Well, not in synergism. Synergism does okay. Not adjust in that way.
Synergism 2 does, so it'll be okay.
We'll do it okay?
Yeah, synergism 1 is different, but synergism 2 will be all right.
Okay.
So it won't matter.
You can do it with synergism 2 then, but let's just see.
That's all right. You can't use the printouts in synergism 1 to do this, because it won't be right.
The weighting is different.
137.9. 117.39 divided by
170.19.
Is that 22, 45, 110, Howard?
Uh huh.
Try it then.
This is the second fraction now, not the second call. You do it by fraction. Mm-hmm. That's the.
Yes, sir.
The same on spread as in the root.
Oh yeah. This happens to be a spread, but the point is conducted the same in a route as square.
Well, your 1, 2, and three, that's first call, second call,
second fraction, third fraction.
And what did you say? You said second fraction, not second call. Okay.
Right. Don't use the second call. This is why this is superior to soon early. Yeah, anybody need more time to get it clear?
I just can't see it.
Okay. The formula is
60 plus
no one. First fraction one, fraction two, fraction three, add together. That's full energy.
Third order.
You take fraction one and fraction two, add them together, and divide them by the total.
I can't read the bottom line.
That's just an example of the
bottom line. Is an example of three times. 60, 57, 39, and 52, 80. Which is 22, 23, 25. All right. Give you a little background on this. As a result of Jay Elliott's primarily, he did the most marvelous study on it. We all did some studies on it, but his was the most conclusive. We found out that the range in using percent early, which was an artificial formula man created, we found that the range was too great. And you say, to make parameters, people were making parameters, yes, but the parameters were too wide for most people to make anything useful out of it. In many events, contrary-wise, we had many complimentary reports on percent early, many people doing very well with it. But that was because their perception of numbers, they were able to do things that are not within the realm of the average client. It has to be valid for the average. You can't force everybody to be like Bob Purdy or Tom Brohamer or something, or even like Schmidt. This is done for us by Joel Bulger, who will show you the difference. The top, the yellow, being the same times reflecting the old percent early for high and low. The parameters how much wider they are than for percent median. In every case, at every time, at every distance,
this is 6 years.
The parameters are narrow. CJ?
I do love that.
You have brought? Now, when we're going to use center of kinetic energy, which is a highly complex formula, which actually tells you the exact point where a horse starts to decelerate, and that made the parameters too narrow. It became so narrow that way that you really couldn't make a model of them. But they had no significance, they were too narrow. The center early was too wide, and this, like the little bear said, this one's just right. Goldilocks, somebody said that. So this now produces parameters and numbers that are almost absolute in their predictive effect. For example, Del Mar. There were only two non-maiden races won by any horse with a median energy over 70. And yet, 12% of all the favorites for the whole meet had median energy over 70. Corresponding percentage, I think 16% of the second favorites were over 70. So you can throw out in any given race, we found out in the average cluster of 5 entries into a race, you could automatically throw out 2. Now you got it down to 3. So the fellow who has to put in 7 has it down to 5. Maybe he's got 3 in there that are over 70. But 70. So automatically, having a proper parameter here which you can depend on, you've eliminated non-contenders. If you look in your little booklet we gave you today, you will see a phenomenon based on some consecutive races sent by a client using it, Belmont Park, page 4. Page 3, we explain the difference between the VC formula, which gives you the kinetic velocity center as opposed to median and early. But on page 4 comes a very interesting thing. In all those races, you have 6 deviations in 55 races. That means chance of winning by establishing the criterion is 89% if you did everything else right. Your chance of winning if you did everything else right with percent early was about 69%. Just on that factor alone. Notice that 3 of the deviations all came on the same day. The other cluster of 2 came on the same day. And the single was preceded and followed by a number that were perfectly within the range. Notice also that even with the deviations, there was nothing over 70. This is just an abbreviated chart, but that chart carried for days and days and days, carried the same percentage, so we only put in one example. The percentage maintained. Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. I want to, in the old days, you could take the charts as you taught us to get percent early and just every day, the day after, just run through and get your percent early and then, you know, attach them to a given distance or surface each day. How do you build up your data bank on this now?
Same thing.
You go to the winner, the pace of their winner?
Yeah.
Less than beaten legs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is when. This is the horse that won. This is what the horses that won had after the fact. Results are.
Well, I just have to study a little and see how it applies to the chart, right?
Yeah. What he's done here is he's put in the date and the distance of the race and the conditions of the track, so he'll know if the deviations came on kind of a different surface. I didn't carry that down. I was pasting up here. But you see the deviations came on fast surfaces, at least in the first. Do You want to know the surface condition of the track. That's very important. Putting your fast, he didn't play on any non-fast, or didn't have any non-fast stages in the summer. So you want to definitely put in the condition of the track, because it may alter the percentage median effect.
Yeah, but you're saying, from a practical standpoint, it doesn't exceed 70. Apparently.
It started, at Pomona it is. The very first race we did at Pomona was 70.06. It's a track, but
normally 70 would be a ceiling. That's a high.
Thus far, I suspect that you'll have a different parameter in Santa Anita. It traditionally runs much faster. But Exarvin, Long Acres, Belmont, the tail end of Hollywood, and all of Del Mar, and Remington, short period, nothing over 7.
Del Mar is playing so sustained for the entire meet, they're only maybe 4 or 5 horses that ever hit the 7.
That's what and the two of them, only two non-majors.
Can you go with the BC formula?
The BC formula, which we're not using, it's spelled out right here. And if you're that's the formula. What it is it takes the center, it takes the halfway point in the race. You extrapolate the value of the midpoint by about 6.1 instead of. In other words, if you're dealing in a route, you're dealing at the 3-furlong mark, 6-furlong route, you would be taking the energy expended to the at 3 furlongs. It requires some extrapolation. If it was a mile and 16th, you would take it to the whatever half a mile 16th, 4.25. And it would prove it would have been wonderful. I would have loved it because it would have confused everybody. So wonderfully as to what center of kinetic energy distribution was, point a great new turn, and further created animosity in the hearts of contemporary handicapping communities, and further confused you. However, it was not to be. That was not the ideal or optimal one to use. So. We were stuck with a common, ordinary word like median. However, if you want to tell people that's the center of kinetic velocity distribution, you can do it. If you want to dazzle your friends, you might get some. What that did was it produced a deviation, an extreme, only 1.76 deviation between the extremes of 23.46.110 and 22.45.112. And that was not enough. So we narrowed the range by about 0.42, which is, if you want to look at it in length, we got it down here. So that we're right within 3 lengths, although it's not measured in length, it's something that you can use in color. At any rate, it has been, to those who have used it, a blessing, and it has made people much bigger wins. And it will do the same for you, because you'll be able to rely on it. Or a percentage earlier would drive you crazy sometimes. You figure it's going to be 52.61, and the next race is 53.40, and the next one is 51.80, and then you have two of them that are 52.31. This will not give you that wide a deviation. This you'll be able to use with a great deal of accuracy, independent. But you yourself must keep the figures established. Don't, because 70 didn't win until Pomona the other day, don't count on 70 being the cutoff point at Santa Anita. But you find the cutoff point, it doesn't matter what it is, find it, and find the minimum cutoff point, and find an area which, and you notice he put in by class level, too, using our determination of class, high, low, and medium.
I asked that on the phone the other day, and he laughed at me, so I quit asking him. What? High, low, medium, what, arbitrarily? Was he talking class, like I said, given?
Would you like me to direct another one of these?
Yes, my favorite old thing.
I'm glad Jay brought it up, because maybe some of the rest of you understand that. Look on the last page, the inside of the back cover. your classic part-time chart makers and your classic handicappers insist that you start from the lowest planing level and go through 12 or 8 or 16 in some cases steps of class to create levels. And I won't say they're wrong. I will just say that their figures do not correlate with reality. If you recall, some of the research we did on it, we had another fellow do it. There's always a danger when you do your own research that you will make your research conform to your own personal warts. And most of the research that's done in thoroughbred racing is conforming to the warp of the research. And we didn't want to fall into that trap. So we have guys totally independent of us. We give them projects and they do it for us. And they have no prejudice. Spencer Tone, for instance, all of you know, has no prejudice. Spencer Tone, neither does Joe Bolger. And they do research for you that is completely objective. They aren't even sure what the heck they're doing sometimes, but they do what you tell them, and they have no axe to grind. Spencer Toner took a part-time chart made, incidentally, by Bob Purdy, the one that Brohammer's used. They're all made by Bob Purdy from his big database. So let's say there's $10,000, there's 32, non-winners and two.